Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, do you ever click on the story? Do you ever click on the live stream just to kind of see what's going on TikTok or the Instagram to just, you know, see what their story is all about? Can that get you in trouble? All right, guys. So yep. We dive in a little bit here on some NFL overreaction or reality. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Happy holidays to the people that are going to be taking this entire stretch and enjoying the new year. This is always a stressful time for me as a father, because my middle kid's birthday is the 30th.
Ooh.
And then my oldest kid's birthday is the 1st. So, yes, there was... and if you're asking, I asked Adrian to prom in March.
Okay,
in
you beat
high
me
school.
To it.
March 22nd was a thing. No, that was our first date. And then I asked her to marry me on, it was March 23rd. March 23rd.
My dad's birthday.
I asked her to marry me on March 23rd many, many years ago at Union Station in downtown Dallas, where I was concerned that somebody was going to steal the ring. And I heard somebody clapping behind me, and I was like, I didn't invite anybody out here. And I turned around, and there was a homeless man, and he was like, do you guys have any change? And I was like, here, please go, because I just did not want him to, like, snatch. I don't know why I was very scared of that for whatever reason. It was the most expensive thing I'd ever purchased. I think that's why. But evidently in March there's some we care about each other. And and so, yeah, we have this. But here's – so Christmas and two birthdays for the boys. This year, Adrian, since he's turning 18, she did 18 days of Avery.
Oh,
and
that's
so
cool.
And so she made this big board. She put up all these little cups with these tissue paper, and he punches his hand through, pulls a number.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And then he goes and he pulls one of the presents from that. He got a Wii U controller. And that's when Adrian goes, oh, yeah, we never ordered a Wii U. So he has a controller, but he doesn't have
the console.
Yeah, and he didn't even ask, we haven't asked any of the grandparents for the console either. So he's expecting one of these boxes has a Wii U in it. And that's not going to be fun there. So, what y'all are saying is that Corey was living in sin before. No! No! Mm. I don't know what that means. I don't know exactly what that means, though.
How do you not know what it means when you're a man of experience?
So the first child, we've been married for, we're all going on 20 years this coming up year. Will be our 20th year. Our oldest
four.
Is 18. So there you go. That was not living in sin. Kevin, who had a child out of wedlock. Throw him under the bus real quick. He talks about it a lot. It's not just me.
I know, but he's not here to be like, it's true.
It's
like
true. That's valid. You know? Very, very Merry Christmas to everybody and happy holiday out there as well. All right, let's dive in on this a little bit. Let's go for some NFL overreaction or reality. I saw this pop up, and it's on CBS Sports, and they were ranking players who could benefit the transfer portal. If they did a transfer portal in the NFL. And I think there are plenty of dudes out there that were like, you need to go to a different team. Myles Garrett is definitely at the top of my list. Max Crosby, also definitely at the top of my list. When you're on a bottom-feeding team, Joe Burrow would be at the top of my list. He has made the Cincinnati Bengals. They turned into something because Joe Burrow is a legitimate quarterback in the NFL. So 877-881-1053. Here's how the list goes. Devon Achane. Number 10, I think he's perfect in that offense.
He is.
I think he benefits a lot from being with Mike McDaniels. Now, the fact is he has a bad quarterback, but maybe that's what they're kind of looking at. But I think he's utilized the right way there. Jeffrey Simmons, defensive tackle for the Titans at number 9. Dexter Lawrence with the Giants. That dude right there is an absolute beast, and he has wasted most of his career being with the Giants. That stinks. Brock Bowers with the Raiders, who is now officially done for the rest of the season. He is on injured reserve as well. And then Max Crosby, number 6. Bijan Robinson with the Falcons is number 5.
I would hate to see him on a good team because that means they are probably going to be postseason threats every year.
Yes. No, Robinson is also the first running back to achieve 1,400 yards and just 14 running backs to do so in the NFL, getting 1,400 yards in each of his first three seasons from the line of scrimmage. Chris Johnson and Matt Forte were the last two running backs to join that. So that was the first three seasons before Robinson. Yeah, that's crazy. Justin Jefferson, number 4.
Yeah.
I want to play this game at some point. And we probably will do it after the season's over. If you could pick a quarterback pairing, a team pairing for George Pickens to go somewhere else. I'm not trying to say get rid of him. But who would be that perfect matchup? When it comes to Justin Jefferson, there's part of me that wants to pair him up with Jameis because I got to watch that amazing him and Mike Evans just throw it deep every time. And it was awesome. But Justin Jefferson's such a talented wide receiver at every route.
Yeah.
That I wonder if there would be another quarterback that would just be awesome to watch him play with. But it does stink that he doesn't have a quarterback in Minnesota. And they had Sam Darnold. I still don't know if they got the most out of that connection. But Justin Jefferson in Minnesota, not necessarily my favorite anymore. Mm. The top 3, Myles Garrett, Joe Burrow, and Dak Prescott. They suggest Dak Prescott would benefit the most from a transfer portal. If he just said, you know what, guys, I'm out of here. I'm going somewhere else. What do you do? He's getting paid just like the best quarterback out there. And the Cowboys organization, a lot of people continue to blame the Cowboys as an organization for holding Dak Prescott back. A lot of people out there, I've seen the text come in plenty of times, a lot of people will blame Dak Prescott for holding Dak Prescott back. I think that Dak Prescott's had a great year this year. This defense has been atrocious, and it hasn't put them in position to actually go out and do anything. But from the 817, Dak should be number 1 on that list. And I don't disagree with you on that, man. I think that Dak's had he's had moments in playoffs where I expected more out of him and the team. But this is an absolute team thing. And honestly, this thing hasn't been built as a complete team in quite some time.
Yeah, the reality is that he would benefit from it because what gets lost in all the conversation, which is fun and everything, but people get real serious about, is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys good enough? Is he actually good at football? The league loves Dak Prescott. You hear coaches and players from other teams and other divisions talk about him like he is one of the bigger threats in the NFL when it comes to game planning, you know, because of his command of the line of scrimmage. He can make pretty much any throw you ask him to. Does he do it with flying colors every time? No, but he can. He has the ability to, but the offense doesn't ask him to all the time. And it's interesting that this comes up now because I think it was just last week I saw a tweet that said, if Dak were to be the next Matt Stafford and say, it's not going to work here, I'm going somewhere else, where would it be? And the replies were amazing to see people's theories about he's going to go to this place and they're going to use some extra money that they might get from cutting these people and they're going to just load up and they're going to go all in for 1 year with him to get that Super Bowl. And I was like, one, I hate that. Because I want him to win it here. But two, he is still good enough. And he showed you this year at his age and this level of experience, he can stay healthy. This might have been a blip in the radar, but he has shown you for one season, he can stay healthy and he can be productive and he can be relatively the same guy each week in terms of his performance. So, yes, he would benefit from it and he would leave. I feel like at some point, maybe not the first couple of years that this fantasy transfer portal would exist, he would be like, nah, the Cowboys are my team. But once he's like, I've got one left in me. Mm-hmm. I've got one more year. I'm packing up and going to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Or I'm packing up and I'm going to name any team that has somewhat of a structure and an offensive play caller as a head coach. I could totally see. I mean, heck, if Drake May didn't exist, I could see him looking at the Patriots and saying, Mike Vrabel's a guy that could coach anybody. He could coach me.
Yeah.
You know, Josh McDaniel, he's figured it out. He's kind of brought himself back into relevance. There's plenty of teams that would make sense for him, and I would hate if this was a real thing.
Yeah, Dak with the Steelers mindset would be something that I would hate to see.
Oh, gross.
Because like, he would fit that perfectly, right? Like, just get in there and do the grunt work, and you get better whenever you get hit. All the people that are like, Dak, $60 million is the thing. If he took less money, he could build it. That's not necessarily true. You can spread that money out and make your cap hits completely different, and that's just – actually, that's kind of the owners that have tricked you into thinking that the cap is a problem in that. Like, it is a problem at some point, but you can move that money down the road and do something else with it right now. It's just whether or not the owners make that decision that right now is the time to do it. Cowboys have taken opportunities to say, we'll wait things out and see how things go, because they don't want to move that fast a lot of different times. All right, let's do some more NFL overreaction or reality. The Quinn Ewers era is already over in Miami.
What?
That is an overreaction or reality. You get to decide here. It was only one start under his belt. It wasn't exactly a confidence-instilling performance, though, by him. He finished his first career start 20 of 30 for 260 yards and two interceptions in an absolute blowout against the Bengals. Second half was where Ewers started to falter. 55.6% of his throws, two interceptions, and a 43 passer rating.
I'm going to go overreaction here. I don't think it's done, because that's the easiest way to shake a guy's confidence. That is already shaken after that. You have to imagine that he's watching that tape back with Mike McDaniel, and he's like, this is not fun to watch. And the self-scouting is always the worst, at least in my mind, because I'm always the toughest on myself. And I've seen and I've listened to Quinn speak before in his time in Texas. He seems like that kind of guy, too. And I think with just a couple games left on the schedule for Miami, it's like, why would you switch at this point? It just makes no sense to look any other direction. I know Zach Wilson is not thrilled that he's not getting the playing time,
yep.
But you can't make everybody happy. If you want something, which, I mean, Quinn Ewers still has time. He has a lot of time in this league to figure it out, but he has a lot of time on that rookie contract.
Yeah.
So it's like, you want to keep him around here, and you want to keep him confident that he belongs on that team. So let him figure it out. So at some point, whenever you bail on the franchise quarterback, the multi-million dollar quarterback, and you say he's done, you're screwing somebody over. And it's one of the other quarterbacks on the roster. Because like Mickey was saying, the second and third guys don't get any reps with the ones in practice at all. They never work with these guys. That's why Shador's first start, I was like, I'm not taking much out of it, because he was QB3 going into that. And they were expecting him to throw to Jerry Jeudy for the first time, really, on game day. It just doesn't work like that. So I don't think you can bail on him just yet.
All right, overreaction to reality. Jackson Dart, no longer the Giants' clear-cut quarterback of the future. It was a very quiet afternoon for him. He only had five passes in the first half, completed one of them for 2 yards, and Dart was 7 of 13 for 33 yards and an interception, give him a 27.4 rating. That was awful. In my opinion, Alec, this organization has failed in a lot of different areas. Wait till the offseason to make this decision, because Jackson Dart needs somebody in his ear that's setting him up with a fantastic game plan, and I don't think he's getting that at the moment.
Mike McCarthy.
Oh, man.
That would be weird. I'm going to go overreaction as well, because I'm right there with you. I think the organization has just failed him because this is becoming too comfortable of a trend in the NFL for me, the whole bringing in a first-year guy, drafting somebody high, and then firing their play caller or firing their head coach, their leadership in season, because it just rattles the brain a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You go into this thinking, and the Giants at least publicly did a good job of selling everybody on the idea that Dable has one more shot at this. You know, and Joe Shane, the GM, has one more shot at this. And they lied. So I think at some point you just have to say this season is a wash. It's okay. And he's going to get a real play caller in there at some point, because just imagine, I know that people are saying that Kevin Stefanski isn't exactly like a lock to stay in Cleveland. And if he were to get let go just because they have to change for whatever reason, he would be the hottest candidate available for any head coaching openings. And you know he can build a staff. People respect that guy. So imagine if he goes to New York. And then you have long-term security in terms of your brain trust. And you have long-term security in terms of your scheme and your structure. So if he can get that, he's fine, which I expect them to. I think they'll spend a little bit more money than they're used to when it comes to coaching and make sure that they have a guy that can stick around for 4 or 5 years and build something.
The overreaction to reality, the Chiefs loss shows how much Patrick Mahomes was actually carrying this team.
That's a reality. That team is not good outside of him this year, because Travis Kelce is ailing and he's aging, and he quite literally at a lot of points now looks like he doesn't want to be there. Chris Jones is just not the guy he used to be. He can show you flashes of that game wrecking potential, because it feels like just yesterday Chris Jones was the number one seed for defensive, I guess, what would the word be, like closer that you would want in the NFL, where if you need one play to be made to win you a game, you call Chris Jones. Now he's kind of just there. He just exists. Outside of that, I mean, Andy Reid is a great post-game quote. That's about it. That team is not that good. They're hurting personnel-wise.
Yeah, they wanted to, he said, we're going to tickle your tonsils in every possible way, and that completely baffled us so many times throughout the day.
It's going to baffle me when I hear that at 1:30 on Friday.
Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, 5 players to watch according to Kyle Yeomans, and more Christmas this or that. Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
From the Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. I really thought that was going to be some My Chemical Romance that was about to play some Black Parade. I was like, this is an awesome Christmas
song. I can
song.
Do that next.
I didn't know this was, but I'm into it right now. All right, guys. So it is the Expressway, the Lunch Rush, 40 minutes of uninterrupted entertainment content for your ear holes. I would say sports entertainment, but you know what? It's Christmas Eve. We're having a little bit of fun today because you out there are having a little bit of fun. From the 469, can I get a shout out on Shot Out Wednesday? To maybe they're drinking some shots around the house. To my kids home from school, thank you. Dude, this time of year is so much chaos as a parent, because Adrian's very, like, we're fortunate right now that she can office from home at times. That's good. She has to go in a couple times a week, but I'm gone. Now I got to leave a bunch of kids home by themselves. Whenever they were smaller, I was terrified. What am I going to come home to? The house is going to be destroyed. All the presents are going to be opened. And now that they're older, it's like the big concern is what the dog's going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for all the parents out there that are like, how do I entertain these kids for a little while? And they're out there making cookies or doing what they can, hustling for the kids. Hats off to you.
And hats on to me, because I'm not a father.
Yes,
so
not yet.
I add to the chaos. I am the chaos at this point. Yeah, I cause the problems, and I am the talk of the town when it comes to the family events and holidays. So, yeah, I add to it. If anything, I stress people out. So it's a fun position to be in.
Your sister's back in town. Did she move into the area?
Yeah, she lives in Leonard.
Okay, all right. And so it's closer. Is she happy about that, being close for the holidays?
Oh, 100%, because it was a rarity that she would be around for Christmas living near Jacksonville, Florida. So it was like every
small market there.
Yeah, some have said. and they don't want more fans, okay?
Nope.
Stay the F away or whatever dude said. But – Yeah, she would come around maybe every 2 years or so for Christmas. So it was like, it was rare. It would just be, I would Amazon something to her. She would Amazon something back. And it was like, Merry Christmas. Okay, we'll talk next year. You know, so now it's like, oh yeah, we're coming over, you know, at 10 a.m. I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
You know, another person I get to annoy. I like this.
All right, this is from DallasCowboys.com. The high five from Kyle Yeomans, our guest every Friday. And he's done a phenomenal job with us yet again this year, so we really appreciate him. Reserve players to watch in the final two games. And basically what he's saying is, look, this team, you understand where the talent is. The talent's at the top. They are still a very top-heavy team. Do they have the depth, though, at certain positions to be like, all right, we're pretty good if something was to happen there? I think a lot of question marks. If something happens to Dak, you have no clue. And number five on his list, Joe Milton. This has been... I loved having Joe Milton as a guest when we went out to Oxnard this year. He was thoughtful in all of his answers. I loved watching the way... this dude, did you see that throw he made running to the sideline? It felt like it was 100 yards. If he wanted to throw it 100 yards, he could. And then he fumbled the ball, and that looked like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? He's trying to adjust his chin strap while running from defensive players. Yeah. And I get it. You don't want your helmet to fall off. I understand that, but just go down. Just if your chin strap's flopping off, slide, and then take the next play. That's what we'll take for you. But Joe Milton, do you want to see a little more from him? I feel like we're going to. Dak probably wants to end the season as the career or as the passing leader for the first time for the Cowboys ever. But it's, you know, we see where this thing is going. Let Dak get out there, play some snaps, wrap the season up, and then put it in Joe Milton's hands.
Yeah, I feel like Dak could honestly ice that crown of passing leader in tomorrow's game.
Yeah.
Just because that defense is not good. I would like to see more. I totally believe a world where we don't. Just because Shoddy and Dak, the combination of them, of, you know, no, we play to win the game, you know, and I have to motivate my guys, and I have a culture to build, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not mocking them by any means. I'm just saying, like, they have been adamant about that, and they keep saying it. We talked to Steven earlier this week, and he was like, absolutely, Dak, if he's able to play, he will be out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see a world where that look at Joe Milton is like a series.
Dude, I'm glad that you brought that up too about the wanting to play, because yesterday on the drive home listening to Broadus, it was an interesting burn that he got there, and not a burn on somebody, but he was like, look, I am at the point now as media guy where I have decided, yes, I want you to finish out this season with only 6 wins and have better draft position, because I want the ability to go study the higher pick, to have the discussion about what to do with the pick. Like, all those things brought us on this side of the table. He's like, yeah, I get it now. But he said, but I need you to know that the guy on the other side of the table doesn't want that. And that was what Max Crosby said, too. Max Crosby, their team is in position to have the number one overall pick and pick the best quarterback that they possibly want or whatever they want to add to this. And he said, I don't give an S about the pick, honestly. I don't play for that. That's not my job. My job is to be the best defensive end in the world. That's what I focus on every day. God, I love this guy. Still do. And being a great leader and being an influence and being that guy on a consistent basis, that's got nothing to do with me. I've learned my lesson in the past. You can't control everything. Not my job description. My job is the best in the world at what I do, and that's wrecking the game. So there are dudes out there. This is what they think. And convincing an entire team of guys that you have to get up and say, guys, let's go beat somebody up for a game. It's the same mentality. Now you got to go tell them not to do that. And they don't. That's not how they believe. That's not how they're wired. And so that's why it's so difficult whenever a Dak Prescott wants to go out there and compete. Now, I think he's like 4 yards behind Matthew Stafford here, 41-79 and 41-75. But that's, I don't know if that's something that's driving Dak or if it's just this is the way I'm wired. I want to go out there. I want to compete. That's how I play this game. And I'm not going to do anything differently.
Yeah. And it takes me to I think it was John Machota tweeted the original quote from Jadeveon Clowney earlier this week, and he was asked if, like, how he stays motivated with two games left being out of the playoffs. I'm going to read this quote to you because it's amazing. I don't know if you've seen
it. If there's cuss words, you better edit them.
There is not.
Okay.
I promise. I've proofread this twice now while you were talking.
Nice work.
Active listening and multitasking. He said, quote, "What you mean motivated? They're paying me. That's enough motivation for me. I like money. Not just that, I represent more than just the team. I'm playing for more than myself, my family supporting me. I'm playing for everybody that's been with me from the beginning, and I ain't never quitting nothing. Ain't going to be hard for me to get up and play no game, do my job."
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
That's the way they think. That's how most, if not the majority, like, I feel uncomfortable saying all, but that's how most of these guys think. They want to play. It's a pride thing. You know, for not even just self-pride, like, I want to rack up these numbers so I can go get a bigger payday. It's like, no, I have people that pay to come watch me, and I want to make them proud. I have the 14 family members that didn't get a ticket out of me, had to pay for their own.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to see me record a sack in that Week 18 game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want them to come watch me on Christmas Day and see me play a good game. You know, these guys love playing for each other, for their family, for themselves. And straight up, like you said, I like money. You know, so he's like,
sounded like Broadus and G-Bag the other day.
Oh, yeah, sounded like Cross.
Guys,
the other
we
day.
Do this to get paid.
Yeah, reminder, majors, we're getting paid. You know, so, yeah, I like how brutally honest the players can be. Like, no, I'm not sitting down. I play this game because I love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I play this game because it feeds my family.
Somebody's going to pay me next year because I keep playing.
Exactly. So, and for a guy on a one-year deal like Clowney, that means a lot. But mm-hmm. for Dak, I think when you're the voice of the team, it matters more.
From the 713, excuse me while I go run through this wall for Max F. and Crosby. I agree. from the 469, can I get a birthday shout out for my wife, Courtney, heading back to visit our family? Been working in Florida, Tolo Brandon. Shout out to Courtney.
Happy birthday.
What's up, Courtney? How you doing?
What are you doing?
I'm just asking how she's doing on her birthday.
There was a change in cadence and tone that I don't know if I can get down with
the 214. Shout out to my wife making tamales today with her mom, and can't wait to eat them. You can't. Her mom and her. You can't eat a human. Oh, the tamales, my dude. I'm sorry, my brain's a little off.
If Bobby was here, he would argue the former.
He'd be like, no, I'm pretty sure they're gonna do something like that. What's up, boys? From the 682. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. Thank you very much to all the Tolos out there that are taking part in this. Number four on the reserve players to watch in the final two games, Jay Tawiah. Don't feel like we quite got enough from, you know, that draft pick this year. There are some moments here and there, but obviously Quinnen Williams, Kenny Clark, Perrion Winfrey at that position group. That's been a position group that they upgraded this season, and Jay Tawiah needed to be exceptional in order to fill that role and say he was ready for it, and he just has some growth and work to do. Number three, Phil Mafah. Now, Phil Mafah is a guy that when I watched him on film, he was very late in the draft. I watched him on film, and I was like, okay, I like a lot of things, but it feels like they want to make him like a thunderback. And I don't know, I saw him get stuffed a number of times, but then I watched him run in the preseason. I was like, this is a downhill dude. This is a guy that can do a lot. And unfortunately, he had a bit of a – he is a bigger body guy, but he had a bit of an injury that kind of set him back and put him – it was the torn labrum that he was dealing with a little bit there. So it shelved him on injured reserve with that shoulder issue. I liked a lot of things. I would love to see him get some carries to wrap up this this season for sure.
Yeah, and especially because I do think that he has enough talent and he possesses enough desirable traits to where other teams would give him that chance. You know, not that they can just take him right from the team right now, but there would be another place out there that I think he would get those reps and he would shine as a secondary piece in somebody's backfield. I really like him a lot. And it is odd that we went from this place in training camp where they made it sound like he was competing to be a starter
mm-hmm.
on this team to very quickly know Javonte's the guy. And then the labrum issue, I think it was, coming out of college that seems to have played an impact here. It did kind of come up randomly. That was my favorite development, honestly, of roster cut down day, was they have no room for Mafah. And then it was injured reserve. And it was like, he's hurt? And it was like, okay, so maybe they didn't want to give him the reps because he was still kind of hurting a little bit, still getting over that labrum issue. So I'm happy he's on the team. I want to see him get some reps, and he should be thanking his lucky stars that Jaden Blue ended up being nothing this year, and maybe just this year, but it's going to open up some chances for him because I think the team might have had higher hopes for Jaden Blue.
Yes, for
and
sure.
Didn't exactly get what they thought was advertised to them.
It's going to take some time for him to find his space with this Cowboys team. From the 817, can I get a shout-out to my brother-in-law, Zach Wilkerson, defensive coordinator from Houston Christian University.
Oh.
I believe he was at Hardin-Simmons before and then took off last season, now heading there at Houston Christian.
Good stuff.
Nice work there. From the 214. What's up, fellas? Shout out to my wife, Carla. She's making a baby girl in her stomach. Can't wait to meet her in early March.
It just sounds so weird.
What is up, Carla? How you doing?
What are we doing?
Just trying to make sure. I'm asking questions, Alec. Asking how she's feeling today. When you're pregnant, there's a lot of different things that could happen. You have some acid reflux that you're dealing with.
Gross.
You're gassy. You feel gross. Heavy and bloated and sweaty all the time. There's lots of things.
Yeah.
Fortunately, us dads never have to worry about that stuff. We just have to hear them complain about
it. Unfortunately, I'm not a dad, so I don't deal with any of that.
One day, Alec, one of these days.
Sure.
Jonathan Mingo. I appreciate Kyle putting Jonathan Mingo on this list, but I'm done with the Jonathan Mingo project. He finished 24 with 5 receptions. The Cowboys traded him a 25 fourth-round pick, and they were looking for a number two wide receiver, and then they found Pickens, and that whole project has turned into what it is. I appreciate that he put him on the list, but I don't think that I'm like going, oh my gosh, I got to see more from Jonathan Mingo in the last two games.
And I appreciate that you called it the Jonathan Mingo project.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to be a project, you know what kind of project I see it as? I see it as that one where it was that super easy class in high school where you were looking at the end of the semester, you're in the last few weeks, and you had that project, and you did the math, and you said, if I just didn't do this project, I would still pass.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just not going to do the project. That's what Jonathan Mingo project means to me, is they looked at it and they said, we got George Pickens, we got Kevontae Turpin working, Ryan Flannoy has been a godsend, and then CeeDee Lamb is CeeDee Lamb. We're just not going to finish the project, and we're still going to be okay.
Yeah. From the 817, Alec, quit being a square. I think they're telling you to go make a baby, is what they're suggesting.
Well, see, in this economy, that's a lot to ask. And,
yeah, that gets complicated.
It gets real complicated real fast. And yeah, they're expensive, I've heard. So
trust me.
And I don't make a lot. So no, I don't think I'm ready for that. Sorry to break your heart.
Yeah, I was in college when I had a child. From the 817, shout out to the people working today and tomorrow, even military overseas, also Dak. So
that is weird to think the Cowboys are working tomorrow on Christmas.
Also, Dak is working tomorrow. And then number one on Kyle's list is Jaden Blue. Obviously, I think everybody wanted to see more. I just don't know. Here's the thing. He's not been on the field.
Yeah.
What is other than saying, okay, maybe he's shown the preparation. He's back into showing he's mature enough for the role, showing that he's done the work that they've been asking of him. Maybe that's going to be the difference. Ball security, pass protection, those are two areas that are so important to him getting opportunities. Maybe he has shown that, but I feel like the way the Cowboys have gone this season, if he hasn't done all those things in practice, I don't know if Shoddy's going to give him that opportunity. That's where I feel like that's the thing that's holding him back. It might be an entire offseason and a trip through training camp to see, all right, now you're going to get your chance to go prove it again.
That was something that you heard with the Trayvon Diggs fiasco the past few weeks is, you know, whenever you asked about, is it a physical or a mental thing, you would always hear a certain phrase. It's the whole body of work. And that's something that Shoddy has instilled pretty quickly, is that practice matters to him. And you hear that a lot now. Like, we had a good week of practice, we're ready to go. Or, you know, after a loss that you didn't think you were going to lose, they're like, it's weird because we thought we had a good week of practice.
Yeah.
You know, and like, so they talk about practice a lot. And it seems to matter a lot to Shoddy, even though practices aren't what they used to be, but they clearly take a lot from that. And that's very telling of work ethic to me. That's very telling of just processing and digesting. Like, I believe them a lot whenever they said with Diggs specifically, it's like about embracing the scheme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could totally see where he was kind of freelancing in practice on some reps and saying, no, I'm going to blow this coverage and go over here because I know the ball is going over here versus I'm going to stay in my area or stay lined up in front of my guy. I could totally see that where he's just like, no, that doesn't make sense. I can go make a play on the ball. Maybe Jaden Blue is kind of doing the same thing where he's like forcing a cutback lane that isn't actually there. Or he's taking the wrong gap or something. There's just something that he's not getting right now, and I don't think force-feeding him reps is going to fix that.
I agree with you, man. I agree with you on that completely. From the 214, how do you guys feel about pro sports on holidays? As a Cowboys fan, I've known nothing but Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So I've always had that, and the Cowboys have played on Christmas Day plenty of times. So this is not something new to me. I like it. I feel like the game builds itself as an event to have some festivity around it anyway. They do a good job on TV of adding in those chyrons and then graphics that go along with the holiday season. So I think that's fun. It's not my
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Won't be my main focus tomorrow. It'll be on, I'll be involved with it, but and maybe that would be different. The whole family would want to be more focused if this was a winning season and they were heading to the playoffs.
Sure.
Even if they were like they were in contention, but they had surpassed everybody and it didn't matter in these last two games, everybody would be in because they're like, all right, now what are we adding? You know, what are we going to do? You know, what kind of new things can we add to this thing? So I love holiday sports. Whenever the bowl games are around, they're on. I know that the stadiums are a little more empty than it feels like they used to be, and that bowl season's a little weird now, but there are people like Carter out there that will continue to love and love and love bowl season college football. All right, guys, let's. I wanted to dive in on this real quick. Luka Doncic. I know that's the name. It's the one that will haunt us forever, right?
Voldemort.
Is it? Oh yeah, the name. He who should not be spoken of. Luka Doncic is the most viewed NBA player across all platforms, across all media platforms out there. The league did this last year, and at the time, Luka Doncic did not appear in the top 10. But the top 10 currently goes as such. Luka Doncic, 845 million views. Victor Wembanyama, 708 million views. Steph Curry, 703. LeBron James, 641. Shai Gilgeous, who, you know, he won a championship, so now he matters. Because when you're in Oklahoma City, people are like, okay, let's, you know, see this from a different angle. Jokic, 445. Austin Reeves, of course, as we always knew, 409. Kevin Durant, 331. And gentlemen, just ahead of Giannis Antetokounmpo, Cooper Flagg at 312 million views. We have a legitimate star on our hands. If you watch this dude play, I saw somebody on, I think it was MFFL, I can't remember. They were like, he's a sicko, and I love it. And watching Cooper Flagg, he's a dude who, Bobby says he doesn't do anything flashy, and that's kind of boring. I think the other thing I love about it, though, is he makes the right plays. He can dunk from pretty much anywhere. And then you add into, he looks like he has this mentality of, I want to crush you. Luka, like, that was the thing about Luka, was he wanted to embarrass you in front of everybody in the arena on any given play. Hey, what can I do to make you look like you're on skates and fall on your ass and then knock a three down in front of you? And that's what he wanted to do all the time. And it looks like Cooper Flagg doesn't have that, how am I going to do that? He's just like, I'm just going to figure out a way to get to the rim and destroy you. And that's something that I'm really enjoying about what this young player's bringing to this game, because it's an absolute blast. From the 469, what's y'all's favorite bowl game to watch? kind of the championship game is my favorite one to dig in on. I always love the Rose Bowl, though, just because the weather looks amazing and it's just like a gorgeous setting. So the Rose Bowl's always been one for me.
I got to be bittersweet about it now because I was supposed to go to the Rose Bowl for the first time in January for a concert, and it got canceled because of wildfires. So now anytime I do see games there, I'm just like, I should have seen that already. And I get a little bit sad because that is one of like a bucket list venue for me. I have to see an entertainment or sporting event there. It is gorgeous. Like you said, the backdrop, it just looks picture perfect every single time. So just the aesthetics alone of the Rose Bowl, I enjoy. And then I do enjoy the Cotton Bowl just because of, one, the heritage behind it, but two, it is cool to see AT&T Stadium packed out every single year, no matter who's in it. And I think this year's matchup is going to be interesting as well. So probably those two for me.
Guys, let's play some game now. I want to get back into some game if you're
like
okay
game.
With that. It is time for Christmas This or That. And we started off earlier with opening Christmas presents. When do you do it? Found out Hispanic holiday is awesome because midnight is the time. And they said, what was crazy was how many people texted in. They were like, oh, no, I can absolutely vouch for this.
Yeah.
This is how this rolls. And then they were just talking about how many presents there are and how much fun it looks like. So that's a lot of fun. So let's roll into some more Christmas This or That. Elf on a Shelf or no?
Absolutely not. I think it's creepy. I think it's weird. I think it's stupid. I don't enjoy looking at him. And we did it for 1 year at my house when I was growing up. And I know that it's just somebody moving him around, but
what?
It was creepy.
What are you talking about?
It was creepy. Yeah.
And where's your belief?
It got me to the point where, honestly, he was popping up in places I didn't expect, to where I was like, maybe he is possessed. He's not actually a Christmas fun spirit. No, he's possessed, because why are you in the medicine cabinet in the bathroom? Why? Like, what are you really here for? No, it creeps me out. I don't like it. Like, I already let a man with a giant, you know, sack of gifts and stuff down the chimney every year. Like, why would I let a small elf run around my bathroom and stuff? No, that's not, no.
Jet, my daughter last year, we have three elves, one for each of the kids, because why?
That's scary.
But last year, the elves made their way into her bedroom and also her bathroom.
Mm.
And so she kept coming out going, I don't like that the elves are watching me go to the bathroom. And I was like, that's very valid.
It's a very valid reason.
Very valid. And she was like, and it's also creepy that they were watching me sleep. And I was like, you know what? I'm glad yeah. that you agree with me on that as well. I will send a submission to Santa and ask him not to allow that anymore.
Yeah, the elves have always been kind of odd to me. Kind of like Alex said, they're looking at you all the time, but just the impracticality. It falls on the floor. You can't touch it. You can't move it. He's stuck on the floor forever. It falls on the couch. I don't know what we're going to do about him. Just hard to manage it.
From the 940, woke up to my daughter screaming and crying because my dog got their elf on the shelf and was parading it around the house in his mouth. Yesterday that happened. Kodak grabbed the one Adrian. The elf had made its way onto a wall somewhere, and the dog could access it. And so one of the three was just walking around, and he was hanging out. And I was like, I got to figure something out here. Use tongs. Grab the tongs so that we could move them around, because the humans can't touch them because then they lose all their magical power.
Oh, yeah, that's valid.
But they go back tonight. They go back to the North Pole tonight, so you don't have to deal
Thank
with
God.
That anymore.
Like, stay away from me.
All right, Christmas This or That. Everybody opens a present at the same time, or we go around the room one at a time.
Ooh, we do the everybody at the same time, which gets weird because sometimes some people are more favorable and they get more than other people. Or maybe one person got a couple of expensive gifts compared to somebody else's, like, you know, in the lower price range. So they got 12 gifts and one person got 8 because theirs are just more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So there's less volume. So you kind of go through everything and you're just sitting there watching other people and you're like, I had my fun. Like, I have to sit here and watch. So it gets weird. That's how we do it. But especially because my dad goes all out for the women in the family.
Okay.
So they usually get the bigger share of the gifts. I feel like mine is kind of done after a few minutes and I'm just watching. And I'm like, can I go eat breakfast or something now? Like, I'm bored. You know, so
yeah.
I'm not ungrateful. I get great gifts every year. But I'm like, okay, my part's done. Do I have to sit here and stare and not pretend that my stomach is growling and I need caffeine in the form of coffee?
Jet?
Yeah, my family's, like, we do the one at a time thing, but they're very good at, like, the cue of, like, all right, next person start unwrapping.
Time to move on.
We're, like, we make it very quick. We're all hungry. We're all ready for the game. So, yeah,
exactly.
We keep it at a pace, at least.
See, that was the, so my growing up, it was always just all the kids go into the pit and just everybody rips them all open. And then hopefully somebody figures out, the parents are like, okay, all these kids had these gifts and we figure it out. Nothing gets lost. We do that. Adrian was like, it was system shock whenever she came over to our house, because her family, it was everybody sits around, we get their little stack of toys or presents, and they one at a time, oldest first, and then to the kids. Huh. So the kids had to wait and watch the oldest for open theirs. So they would do it that way. And they it would take 3 hours.
Yep.
It would take 3 hours for us with all these people to go one at a time around. I was like,
way too much.
I am exhausted from all this. And but now it's kind of, I've been like, all right, I kind of understand it. I've tried to convince Adrian that it's a lot more efficient if we just go all at one time.
Yeah.
But she is against it. So that's the way that rolls. All the decorations in the house, or just a few decorations in the house? Do you want, like, I walked into a house once. Every wall was covered with some sort of something. And they had a whole room full of, like, miniature Santa Clauses. And I was like, this is terrifying, but also kind of cool. It's very festive at the same time, but all those Santas were looking at me. And I like, I whenever I got home recently, Adrian had gone out of town. She decorated the house before she left. I didn't do anything outside. We had some sicknesses around the house. It just kind of got convoluted. But inside the house, the Adrian did a great job. I think it feels cozy. It feels like a different house for about a month.
Yeah, we are typically the ones that decorate a lot in the interior of the house, but kind of like you, we just had a lot going on this year, so we didn't get to all of that. So we literally just have the tree up inside the house. That's all we have. And I think our biggest contribution outside of that is putting a Christmas movie on in the background, you know, just as background noise and something back there. So it's like, oh, you see a Christmas tree and snow on the TV. It's Christmas time at the Medford
House.
Yeah, exactly. So we usually do go all out. Like, we have a little Charlie Brown Christmas tree on the coffee table.
Nice.
We have like a cuckoo clock on the wall that Woodstock pops out of, and it plays a Charlie Brown or a Snoopy like kind of a Christmas theme song or something. Like, we do all of that. We have a little nativity set up that's on the bar in the kitchen. It's like, yeah, we usually do all that. We just had a lot going on this year.
Dude from the 817, they say, since I was a kid, my family's opened one gift per hour to make Christmas last all day long.
No, that's doing way too much.
I would sit there and I'd be like, well, this was a fun pair of socks. I can't wait to get to the toys.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there going, man, I better guess right on the next time around.
Gotta wait till 2 in the afternoon.
So. Yeah. All right, hot chocolate or eggnog, ladies and gentlemen. This is the continued battle. I got a buddy that texted me earlier and he said, hot chocolate all day unless there's liquor in the eggnog. You can put liquor in hot chocolate.
Yes,
so
you can.
You guys decide, hot chocolate or eggnog, because my kids have found eggnog and they think there's nothing more in life than that.
I like both. I do. I'm not against either. But there's more nostalgia written inside of hot chocolate. So I'm going to go with that. I don't dislike eggnog. It is I'm not going to say great. It's good. You know, it depends on who makes it, where it comes from and whatnot, and if there's alcohol in it. But I like both. It's just, Christmas to me is very nostalgic. Everything about it. It just, I want to feel like I did that same emotion, that same energy when I was a kid. You know, so I do everything I can to feel that. Eat the same foods, drink the same drinks, go about the order of operations of the day the same way. So I'm going with hot chocolate.
I think I'm right there with you. With eggnog, as soon as I have one glass of it, I feel like I'm full. Eggnog is just
so very
rich.
Filling.
It's so filling.
Yeah.
With hot chocolate, I could have a cup or two or three. Like, I could keep going.
You can lose track very easy.
Especially if the alcohol's in there. Like, just keep going on the hot chocolates. Oh, man.
From the 817, put peppermint schnapps in the hot chocolate. It's like a peppermint patty.
Oh.
Have you ever had hot chocolate and Bailey's? Ever drank Bailey's from a shoe? I've never drank Bailey's from a shoe before, but I appreciate the question there. And then somebody said, my mom has four separate villages that she's been adding to for years. I wouldn't have it any other way. The house is always boring in January. I got a ton more of this. We might get into some more in the next hour, but coming up next, it is time for the C Block, ladies and gentlemen. Last night, I got to do something that I've never been able to do before, and it was an absolute blast. Next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.